The text for the sermon this morning comes from Philippians. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. When you look around at the people who go to church, do you see people who are rejoicing, people who are happy, people who know how richly they have been blessed? Or perhaps what you see are long faces and you hear nothing but complaints. When you talk to other Christians, do you sense in them real joy because of their faith? And if they speak of the kingdom at all, do they do so as it being something that can only be enjoyed at some unspecified time in the future? Being more personal, do you rejoice in your faith? Or do you see the gospel of Jesus Christ as being a burden, something that you carry because you think it's the right thing to do? Many people outside of the church see faith as a burden. But surprisingly, so do many within the church. They don't see faith as being liberating, that being a member of God's kingdom is like being part of a wedding banquet and not some kind of funeral procession. Many folk see the Christian life as being a series of do's and don'ts, rules that will give them pie in the sky sometime in the future. Leading a life based on shalls and shall nots means missing out on the fullness of the Christian life. Our faith should lead us into joyous living. It should lead us to an abundant life, not one without its troubles, but one that is rich, one that is deep and full of peace. Today's parable in Matthew's Gospel compares the kingdom of God to a wedding banquet. Weddings are a time of great happiness, a time of celebration, a time of rejoicing. And our lives of faith should be like this. The problem for many is that their faith is incomplete. Many get mired in the notion that all you have to do is turn up on a Sunday, go through the motions, and follow all the rules. Living like this means that we will be ill-clothed for the task in hand. We will not receive the clothes God provides for us. And we will become like the man in our parable this morning who failed to wear the suit provided and so ended up being evicted from the party. We all know the stories, the parables that Jesus told, and we know them very well, too well perhaps, and we become blasé. We stop thinking about how strange, how odd many of these parables are. And this is a strange one, this one all about the guest at the wedding banquet. People are invited to the feast, but many of those invited refuse to come. And so the king throws open the doors to anyone and everyone. They are invited to come in and share all that's on offer. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad, rich or poor, anyone his servants can find can come in. And these new guests will meet with the king's son and they sit at the king's table. And then the king comes in himself and he notices a man who is not dressed as he should be. He is not wearing his wedding clothes. He's not taken the time to put on the correct clothes. And he goes up to him and he asks him, how did you get in without wedding clothes? And the man says, nothing. He's speechless. And this man is evicted and thrown out. I don't know, have you ever wondered, why would the man say nothing? Why didn't he defend his actions? I think the problem with the man is that he felt that things were absolutely fine. Everything was okay. He had done nothing wrong, and so he had no response. He had been invited. All kinds of people were there. So what did it matter what he wore? After all, the host had thrown open his doors to all comers. But when you think about it, that point of view isn't actually reasonable, is it? When you go to a wedding, you put on your best clothes. You make some kind of effort. You go prepared to party. You go prepared to enjoy yourself, prepared to help the hosts celebrate. We are here today. We have been sought out by God, and we have been invited to join in this banquet of life, a banquet thrown in honor of his Son. Our King has invited us to enjoy life, both in this world and in the next. And we have accepted his invitation. So are we prepared to celebrate as God wants us to? Do we have the faith necessary? Have we put on the clothing of righteousness that God has provided for us? Spiritually, have we changed for this feast? Or do we come in our old clothes and live our life in the old ways? There was once a fisherman called Aaron, and Aaron lived on the banks of a great river. And one day on the way home from a hard day's work, he was thinking about what he would do if only he were rich. And as he walked along, his foot hit a leather pouch. And when he opened the pouch, he found that it was filled with what looked like small stones. Absent-mindedly, he opened the pouch and began to throw the pebbles one by one into the river. When I'm a rich man, I'll have a big house. And he threw another stone into the water. When I'm a rich man, I'll have servants and eat rich food. And this went on until he had one stone left. And as he held it in his hand, a ray from the dying sun caught the stone and made it sparkle. And he realized that what he had in his hand was a valuable gem. He had been throwing away real riches while he dreamed of unreal riches sometime in the future. This story, I think, summarizes the situation for many Christians. We have been given everything that we could need or want. They have been placed into our hands, and we are invited to enjoy them. But for some reason, we don't see what's already in our hands. We don't take all that God gives us, and we don't use it. Instead, we dream of a far-off time, a time in the future when we will be richly blessed. We dream of a day when the joy of the banquet will be ours. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, tells his audience four simple ways in which we can begin to experience the joy and the peace of God now. Four ways in which we can put on the wedding clothes provided for us by Christ, and so keep our place at the table. The first of these is that we are to rejoice in the Lord because he is near. It's easy to forget this as we go through life. Times can be difficult, but the Lord is always near. We should always count our blessings. Nothing shines or looks better than rejoicing, and nothing is more infectious. By doing this, we begin to put on our wedding clothes. Paul goes on to tell us not to be anxious. Living the Christian life doesn't mean that we will never experience pain or problems. That's not how life works. Bad things will still happen to us, but God will be there and He will help us through. All we need to do is ask for His help. And we do this in prayer, and God's presence will lift us up. God is near. Tell Him about your joys. Tell Him about your concerns. Make your requests known to Him, and then give Him thanks. Thank Him as you would any friend. And if we do this, then Paul tells us that we will experience the peace of God that passes all our understanding, and our hearts and our minds will be fixed on Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to tell us to think about good things. All that is true, all that's noble, all that's pure, everything that's lovely and admirable, we should think about. Think about the good and don't dwell on the bad. Do this and you can't help but rejoice. And then the last thing that Paul tells us is this: whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or whatever you have seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Look at other Christians, living and dead. Look at their lives and put into practice what it is that you admire about them, and you will be clothed in the clothes of righteousness. The Christian life works a bit like a freezer. If the freezer is almost empty, then every time you open the door and you let out lots of cold air and warm air rushes in, making the motor work harder, and that's very costly. If you keep the freezer door firmly closed, then the cold air is kept in, but it means you get nothing out. The secret is to fill the freezer with good things and keep it filled. That way, when the door is open, there is no room for the warm air to get in. The motor doesn't have to work harder, and no strain is put on the system. We, by putting on our wedding clothes, by rejoicing in the presence of God, by praying and offering thanksgiving to our God, by filling our minds with good things and practicing those things of faith that we have seen in others, by living like this, we will discover for ourselves the joy, the true joy of the Christian life. A life that is more about do's than don'ts. A life that is rich, a life that shines, and a life that gives comfort and joy to others around us. Much in the same way that the happiness and the joy of a wedding feast gives to everyone present, we will have the feeling of blessedness, the blessedness of life. As St. Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Amen. Thanks be to God.